The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not healed, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, in this chapter from Gospel that we have just heard, Jesus twice emphasized the faith. "Your faith has saved," Jesus said to a woman. "Faith, your faith has saved you." And then to one of the synagogue officials, the father of that girl,
"Ne boj se, samo vjeruj."
He said, "Be not afraid, just have faith." Brothers and sisters, let us ask ourselves, what is so important in faith and about faith? What is so powerful about it that Jesus is emphasizing it that much, that according to him, the faith is decisive. Everything depends on it. It's essential. What is in the faith? We cannot understand, brothers and sisters, faith
je nerazumijemo u kontekstu,
unless we understand it in the context of its relation with conversion. For Jesus it goes together. First her call was convert yourselves and then and believe in the gospel. Convert and believe. Conversion and believe. Conversion that leads to faith, and faith that leads me to conversion, that is to change, faith that changes me. That is happening, brothers and sisters, in these two cases. In the case of that synagogue official regarding death of his daughter and a woman suffering from hemorrhages for years, Jesus strikes the very essence of the problem of both of these two persons. And what was their problem? Their problem was that they were not changing themselves. The conversion was not taking place. They believed. It's not that they didn't believe, but they were not being changed. They probably also prayed. Certainly they prayed, but something was not right. This is why all this is arising many other questions when it comes to our prayer. How do we pray? And that is telling us that our prayer too may be not good enough, not to say incorrect. What is the prayer which is not good enough? That is the prayer which does not nourish the faith that then changes me. It's just a prayer nourishing my ego, and that can happen. Remember the Pharisee? Typical example. He's praying in the temple. He is praying, but he's only nourishing his ego, and he is fortifying his own opinion about himself. Thank you, God, that I am not like those sinners over there. I am good, and others are bad. I don't need to be changed, and others do. You see, that kind of faith remains dry. In such a man, faith is not active. It doesn't change the person. Man is using faith, using God, instead of allowing God to act in them and through them. They are using faith and they are killing others in the name of faith and in the name of God. We see here that this woman that is suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years believes. Who does she believe? She believes people. She believes the opinion of people. And we see that she is allowing others to suffocate her and to suffocate in her the life itself. And poor woman, she's ready and she wants to do everything in order to become free from that, but in a wrong way. She's giving all of her property away, giving all the money to doctors in order to set her free from her burden. But that is wrong, because she wants to humor people, because she depends on the opinion of people, because she did not discover her true identity that only Jesus reveals to her when he tells her, daughter, daughter, we can add absolutely daughter of God, and that is what sets her free. And when she is completely healed, until then she was depending on the opinion of people, and people thought that she has hemorrhages for 12 years, and that's evil, she mustn't come to synagogue, she mustn't appear among people, she is inferior to us, she's nothing, nobody, zero. And the problem is not that much in that, but the problem is that she believed that, and she even thought of herself as somebody of less value, inferior. And so she was spending all her money in order to get rid of that burden. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we can recognize ourselves in this, that we too believe people, that we too depend on people. When I do something, why do I do it? Because of people? Or for the need, true need, when I'm buying a car? Do I want to be somebody in front of other people, dressing myself in a certain way? How often are we slaves to different trends, fashion, opinions, and we are not happy because we depend on people, and then we are trying to please them? We should get rid of that. We have to come before Jesus. This is why Mass and Eucharist, adoration, reading of Holy Scripture, is what is happening with this woman, what is happening with this synagogue official, Jairus, and his daughter. The awakening is happening, the opening of their eyes, becoming aware of who I am. It is the discovering of one's own identity. Let us stay for a moment, for a little while, with the synagogue official. What is his problem? He is suffocating the life of his very own daughter. There are few words that Mark is using, but from these few words we can understand that there is a problem of a father and his relation to a daughter. He is not allowing his daughter to grow up. We can see from few words when he calls her little daughter. My little daughter is dying. Later on, Jesus is calling her young girl, little girl. She's 12. In Jewish people, considered a woman of 12 years old grown up at that time. Jesus is allowing her to grow up. And I believe that Father understood that, and this is why the healing is happening. Until then, he was keeping her to him. He wanted to have her with him. And brothers and sisters, in that we can recognize that we may be possessive. We want to have somebody for ourselves, and we are not allowing that person to breathe. We are not allowing that person to grow, to be free, to become mature, to mature. But we want to keep that person for ourselves, as well as things, people. So we can see that we may be possessive. Jesus is setting person free, and person is brought back to life. We are enlivened when we become free, when we become aware that we are suffocating others, and that others, people who we suffocate, when they understand that and start becoming free, they are enlivened. You see, brothers and sisters, today before us, is the realization of what the faith truly is. The faith is the awakening of our eyes, opening our eyes. Faith helps us to understand who we are, that we are, you are daughter of God, you are son of God. That is faith. And that has an amazing power of liberation. And when you believe that, you are liberated. Nobody can do anything to you anymore. People had power over this woman that was hemorrhaging, and they are deciding about her happiness and misfortune. When she became aware that she is daughter of God, she became free from people, and people could not do her any harm. That is the power of faith, brothers and sisters. Therefore, let us believe. Let us believe that you are daughter of God, you are son of God. Then people can think whatever they want. Nothing can they do to you. They cannot enslave you. Even if they put you in prison, you remain free person. The power of faith, brothers and sisters, is that faith is helping me to see things from yet another angle, in a different way. If I thought of something before as condemnation, faith is now opening my eyes and is telling me that it is not condemnation, that blessing may be hidden in it, that it may be good for me. Or as in a story about the king, it is said that he went hunting with his servant, and when he was shooting, he hurt his thumb, and as servant was treating his thumb, he said to king, Your Highness, we do not know what is good for us and what is bad. And king, because the thumb was hurting him, that was annoying him, that the servant would dare to speak with him and threw him in a well that was dry, and went on further into jungle looking for a way out all by himself. But people who were living in that jungle, members of a tribe, found him and brought him to their king, and they were preparing a sacrifice, and they thought that he was that sacrifice to be offered up to their deity. And when they wanted to kill him, the chief tribe realized that he had wounded thumb, and chief tribe said, no, he cannot be offered as a sacrifice, because he is not whole, not a perfect sacrifice. And then he realized how wrong he was, and how right was his servant sharing with him that thought, went back, liberated him from the well, and asked him for forgiveness. And the servant said, King, you don't have to ask me for forgiveness, because you saved my life, because if we both went further ahead, I am not wounded, so they would kill me. You saved my life. So you see, we never know what is good for us and what is not. Faith, brothers and sisters, is looking at things from some other angle, from above, as one saint used to say, I see, look at all things from the perspective of eternity, perspective of Christ, perspective of God, to view everything happening to us from that perspective, and are throwing light at things. This is why Mass is important, this is why confession is important, this is why reading the Word of God is important, because I am learning the God's way of seeing and thinking. I am getting His eyes, and I am approaching, getting closer and closer, trying to resemble Him to His way of thinking and seeing things. So, brothers and sisters, this is occasion for us all to wake up, just like a synagogue official and his daughter, just as this woman. Amen.